from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Off the end of the bat to left center field. Into the gap. It's down. Senzel backhands it shy of the track. Here comes Wisdom. Reload of the plate. Cut off. And the Cubs strike first. He lifts this one in the left. That's going to duck in for a hit in front of Gamora. His throw to the plate is not in time. And the Cubs with a two-out burst to make it 2-0.
Puffin and Puffin with a count 2-1 on Aaron Judge.
High fly ball. This ball is way out of here. One-run game. There it goes. Back at the wall and it's gone. Yankees on top. 8-7 here in the ninth.
Anderson.
Hits it in the
I said these two teams may not be going at the end of the year where they want to. This game will stick with their memory. It won't, you know, everyone wants to win, but they're going to remember the memory of this game more than anything, and I sure am as well.
Highlights from the Field of Dreams games involving both the Cubs and the White Sox there in Iowa, and you're wondering, why is Spiegel playing Field of Dreams games highlights on Sunday morning, July 9th, on The Score? What are you doing? Well, on the phone lines, I'm lucky enough to have Dan Evans, who joins us right now on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Dan is, among other things, the chief operating officer of the Field of Dreams movie site, and he joins us now on The Score. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm well, Matt. Thanks for having me, and thanks for having interest in our Sabre convention and the Field of Dreams.
Yeah, I mean, this is why Dan's in town, and I assume you're calling from over at the Palmer House there. Where,
I am.
Yeah, where the Sabre, the Society of American Baseball, Society for American Baseball Research, is wrapping up its 51st convention. I was lucky enough to be there the other day and see Mike Veck, the son of Bill and the longtime owner of the St. Paul Saints, give an incredible presentation. But, I mean, overall, just an amazingly impressive lineup of speakers, and what a cool thing to finally see for me the other day. So congrats on what seems to have been a great event here in Chicago, Dan.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun, got to a game, saw Ozzy, Vec, Jason Benetti, saw Les Comiskey. We had over 80 different events off the baseball buffet here at the Palmer House, so it was a lot of fun.
That's really, really cool, and I would recommend that everybody go to sabre.org and check it out. And I've got a couple of books on hand now that that I want to delve into, because it's interesting. Like anybody within the society, they can possibly contribute to a book or a presentation at the convention if they want to research something and write it. Is that basically true, Dan?
Absolutely. And Matt, the Chicago chapter is vibrant. So as a result, you can go to their meetings, their virtuals, and you can do some great things. I'm on the board of directors of Sabre, and we encourage member participation. So as a result, you can be as active and engaged as you want to be, or you can just sit back and feed from the baseball buffet.
There you go. Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, let me get to the Field of Dreams stuff, because as I met you in the hallway the other day at the Palmer House and we were talking, I shared with you just how incredible the experience was that I had being able to be there for the Cubs and the Reds. My son was just absolutely loving the entire day, as was I and my wife, and of course the movie site and everything. But just the game itself was so intimate and so cool. And then I had heard that you guys were closing down for a couple of years and doing this, some development, putting up a bunch of new fields. And I was afraid that it was that the project, frankly, might damage the intimacy and the excellence of the place for MLB events or otherwise. And I was thrilled to hear you describe what actually is taking place. So give our listeners that background, if you would, on what the plan is going to be.
Well, you start with the very epicenter of what is in Dyersville, Iowa, which is the Field of Dreams movie site. It'll be our 35th year since the movie next year. We will completely preserve the site. I mean, Frank Thomas and I, Frank's the CEO, I'm the COO. And as a result, our preservation of the Field of Dreams movie site is priority number one. We will never do anything to harm it. What we're doing is we're building around it, and like 40 to 80 acres away, we're adding a 9-field softball baseball complex. It'll be, for me, the mecca of softball and baseball in the United States, perhaps the world, where we can bring youth in and play baseball and get better at the game, have a very competitive environment, yet fun as heck. And then we're building a stadium, which will house future big league games, future collegiate events, concerts, conventions. There's all sorts of things we'll be able to do. They will coincide. They'll both be ready in the spring of 2025. But in the meantime, Matt, we have almost 500,000 people visit us every year, and their experience will be absolutely unchanged, uncompromised. I think everybody comes to the Field of Dreams for their own reason. They come to play catch, hang out, remember a loved one, just come back and chill out a little bit. And from Chicago, it's three and a half hours. So what we don't want to do is harm that experience in any way. We want to enhance it in 2025, and we'll achieve that goal.
See, and the fact that you're thinking about all of that is really nice. And as you were telling me the other day, this new stadium, when it is built, will still have that intimate feeling, and will still have kind of endless vistas, because that's part of the magic, as you know, being there, Dan, is like looking off into the distance and really just seeing corn and some trees, and then the sun or the moon. Good job getting the full moon the way you did that night for the Cubs. That was well timed by you. But it feels important from an experiential standpoint that feeling of endlessness will remain.
Well, and it's imperative. It's priority number one for us. Our architects, RDG of USA, are Iowa-based, and they're all baseball fans and Iowans. They get it. We've been around people, all of us have, that you know that somebody gets it. And we talked to a lot of firms about doing this, and their goal was always to maintain and preserve the Field of Dreams experience. So when you talk about vistas, views, we will actually enhance those views even further for the fans. And you know, everybody listening right now, those two ballparks that the Cubbies and the White Sox won on, those are temporary venues, and they were temporary stands. And Major League Baseball, Populous, BAM Productions did a great job. What we're going to do is take it a step further, build a $65 million stadium that's a ballpark. It will never be called a stadium. Frank and I are adamant about that. As a result, we'll have a spectacular venue that'll even be a better fan experience, and somewhere that not just the game can be played every year, but 60 to 75 events a year to really give people the full Field of Dreams experience.
That's great. I'm talking to Dan Evans, the COO of the Field of Dreams movie site. among many other things, Dan, part of five different MLB organizations over the last 30 years. I have that right?
Yeah, and they're still standing, which is the best part about it, Matt. I didn't mess them up too much, but I was lucky. I got to work for five great organizations, including the two in this city, so it's really wonderful.
Yeah, and I want to get to some of that, but one more question about the Field of Dreams. I see that next year MLB is playing a game at Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama, which is awesome. So an old Negro Leagues field and a site, because part of the feeling when I was there at the Field of Dreams, came back the next day and was like, my goodness, baseball needs to play at these creative venues more often, like find a way. I think it's a brilliant way to market the game. And so do we know for sure that MLB will be coming back? I hope they will be coming back on the regular once your site is built.
Well, we're in negotiations with them right now. They've been incredibly supportive and positive, highly interactive and collaborative, so real good. And regarding Rickwood, you know, for White Sox fans, Birmingham's been the minor league AA affiliate of the White Sox since I was there in 1984-85. And as a result, you know, I went to Rickwood Field a great deal before it closed down. It has so much history. I saw so many of our players go through there. So as a result, I'm excited as heck that Rickwood's going to have their opportunity to be on stage in 24. It'll be a fabulous experience.
Lane Tech High School graduate Dan Evans is with us here on 670 The Score. I mean, this is probably the only place where we lead with that, you know, as part of the bio. Do you play baseball at Lane Tech, Dan?
I did. And I got a chance to go to DePaul University, too. So I matriculated in two places about 3 miles from each other. Coming back here, Matt, is so darn special because this is home. You know, I grew up on the north side of Lincoln Square. So for me to be here around my high school, around my college, it's just really an amazing experience.
And then you're with the White Sox when in successive years they drafted, I may have the order wrong, but I know it's Frank Thomas and Jack McDowell and Alex Gonzalez and Robin Ventura. Is that four straight number one picks, Dan?
Yep, we have four picks in a row, and we thanks to our staff, we did a great job, and we nailed four studs in a row, and it was part of the turnaround of the franchise in the late 80s.
Yeah, so the draft is tonight. What did you learn from those years of excellent drafting that you carried on to your time with the Dodgers and the Blue Jays and more?
Character, makeup, passion for the game, a love of the sport, being a good teammate. It's actually more important than talent itself. If you think about those four guys who White Sox fans and baseball fans know well, you know, all four of them, Jack, Robin, Frank, Alex, they are all real passionate players with a lot of talent, had great makeup. That's why we won.
Man, I believe in that so firmly about all the sports that I cover, but even more so baseball, because the failure in baseball and the mental and emotional challenge is unlike anything else. That character still means the world, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, Matt. And I tell you what, I teach a class for sports management worldwide, and what I always push the kids about baseball is we have so much adversity, and we play twice as many games as anyone else. So not only is it a failure-based sport, but it's compounded by the number of times you actually fail. You know, in football, you get a week off. Basketball, you get 2-3 days off. Baseball, you're playing the next day, or sometimes later in the same day. So if you can't handle adversity, can't cope with failure, you can't play this game. And I, you know, as a matter of fact, I think most players don't fail because their talent didn't get them there. I think most players fail because the game just absolutely suffocated them and they weren't able to succeed.
I said Alex Gonzalez and I meant Alex Fernandez, of course. So mm-hmm. I apologize about that. So it's interesting. Yes, you're teaching for sports management worldwide. As you watch the game today, what do you see that some teams failed to do from a front office perspective these days? Because, and I know things have changed, like it's more acceptable now to kind of openly tank and not prioritize winning on the big league level and try to build it back up. But teams seem to be getting that process wrong along the way as well.
Yeah, and I'm not a proponent of that. I think if you're talented, if you have a good front office, you shouldn't have to do that. I think the game has really remained unchanged. You have to build from within. You have to have a player development system that enables you to make trades and also supplements your big league roster. And I think the other thing, Matt, is when it comes to spending, it's not how much, it's on who. You know, you can spend a lot of money. The Rockies are an example. They spent a bunch of money on Chris Bryant, and it just hasn't worked. And other teams this year spend a lot of money, and they're sub-500. It's putting together a nucleus that is self-sustaining and supplementing it with your own prospects, your own scouted players, and then making trades to add what you don't have. And I think from a fan base standpoint, fans don't want a transient core. They love to fall in love with a core and then follow that core through its duration. So I am not a very big fan of tanking. I'm a big fan of just basically reshuffling, putting the team together on an annual basis with a common theme, a common philosophy, a look to your ball club. I think people buy into that, and people enjoy knowing kind of the personality of the franchise.
You left the White Sox in 2000 to go to the Dodgers, but obviously still so connected, working with Frank as you do, and friendly with Ozzy and more. Have you been following their current situation much? I've got a very frustrated fan base that I talk to every day here, Dan.
Well, absolutely. I grew up in Chicago. Dad was a Sox fan, Cubs fan for my mom. As a result, I can't help but follow the White Sox. I went Friday night, saw some just great friends that have been friends of mine since, heck, I was 20, 25 years old. I feel for the fans and I feel for the franchise. I know Pedro Grifol exceptionally well, having worked with him in Seattle. So I just think it's a frustrating year. It's not working the way it is. And it frustrates me because I root for both Chicago teams to do well. I'm always going to be a guy who wants the Chicago teams to play well. But so far, the White Sox, just it's not working. But Friday night, as usual, had a great time at the ballpark.
Yeah, it's a beautiful night on Friday and a crazy back-and-forth game that the White Sox ended up winning. It's hard for fans to feel positive and look forward because they don't believe that anybody from the outside will be brought in to make them smarter. The reshuffling will happen in the front office as well, right? It's hard to imagine Jerry going outside the organization at this point.
Well, that's for them to figure out, Matt, but I will say this. It's obviously not working, and I think if I've learned anything in 40-plus years of the game, you can't fool anybody by this time of the year. Your one-loss record states who you are. You know, there's a reason why people talk about some of the great comebacks in baseball history, but 99% of them, there was no comeback. And, you know, you are who you are usually at the All-Star break. There's very few exceptions. And as a result, you know, where someone asked me, it's obvious that it's not working the way it's set up right now in Chicago. And whether it's personnel decision makers, that's not for me to decide. But it's certainly not working the way you'd like it to work right now. In a division, Matt, that is a game over 500 for the first place team.
Yeah.
So the bar is at an all-time low at the All-Star game, yet you look at the standings and it's very hard to envision them being a participant.
I'm sad that I missed the trivia competition at the Sabre seminar. I pride myself in being decent at it. I probably would have got obliterated, though, by some of the brains in that room, wouldn't I have, Dan?
Matt, you know what? I'm great at trivia, and I'm just a B-plus in this group. But I will say this, the better thing that I did last night,
yeah,
I had 3-plus hours of opening baseball cards with 35 other members and just talking about the game and the players with cards dating back to 1986. It was one of the most fun nights I have ever had at a Sabre convention, and all we did was talk ball and not eat the gum.
What's the best card you pulled, Dan?
I think that would be a push. It would be between a Ventura card, a Fregosi card and a Frank Thomas rookie card.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really fun. I was trading like heck, as you might imagine a former general manager would. But you know what I was doing, man? You'll appreciate this as a baseball savant like me. I was looking for guys that I really love as people. So I was trying to find cards from the last 40 years or so of guys I know. So, like, I got a Tom Seaver. I got a Don Paul because I love Donnie Paul. And I was just accumulating people that I enjoyed being around over the course of my career. I've been very lucky, and I know it. So people are saying to me, you'll trade that card for him? And I'm like, yeah, because I don't care about the value of the card. I care about the relationship that's contained. So I made some bad trades last night. But my La Russa card and some of the other cards, I'm happy as heck that I got them.
Oh, my God. Dan, this is why you can't be a GM anymore at this point in your life.
I was the worst trader in the room last night, and I didn't care. As long as I got the guy I wanted, it was like giving up prospects. It was like, yeah, you want another one to make sure we do the deal? I got a Vladdy because I signed Vladdy with the Dodgers, and then the ownership nixed it.
Oh, wow.
So I'm obsessed with Vladdy. So I made sure I got Vladdy because I just figured this one doesn't matter. I didn't have to sign him to a 5-year deal.
That's amazing. Now you're making me think of like when Bill Parcells would go somewhere and he'd bring Pepper Johnson and Keith Byers with him, no matter what. You know, you go out and you get your guys.
Yeah, absolutely. It's comfort level. I had a little popcorn, some deep dish pizza. It was a good Saturday night, Matt.
Oh.
And a couple friends of mine said, so, like, what else did you do? And I said, no, that's what I did with a bunch of guys. And like I said, the Chicago chapter is vibrant. Jason Schwartz did a great job last night. And anybody who was in that group, oh, my God, were we having fun last night.
Oh, God, it sounds so fun. So the other day, Bill Perch walks me over to Mark Armour of your Sabre group and says,
yes.
Hey, Spiegs, this is Mark Armour. I'm just going to start you guys. Go Red Sox. And so I look at Mark and I said, I'll lead with Denny Doyle. And he talked to me about Denny Doyle as a 1975 trade acquisition. And I was struggling for the name because Denny Doyle played out of his mind for a couple of months in 75. And it's why part of why they went to the World Series. The 1983 White Sox that you were a part of, it's Julio Cruz, right?
You bet. One of the best trade deadline deals of all time. You'd never know it from his stats. But, you know, Matt, here's an example. A lot of people that are on the periphery that don't really know think Sabre's a bunch of stat nerds and that's all we are. And we're anything but. What we are baseball nerds. We're just a bunch of people who love the game. We have over 40 committees. So whatever you like, you can get it at Sabre. But the fun thing is whatever you like, there are people in the room who like it just as much or more than you. So whether it's a ballpark in Osaka, Japan, women in baseball, the Black Negro, you know, Negro League experience, defensive statistics, you can get as nerded out as you can possibly, and you're around people who you're just as comfortable being around. And that's why I love it. The camaraderie is absolutely the best thing about Sabre.
Yeah, I saw it in my brief time there, and then your night last night sounds great. All right, so that's a future Sabre topic for either an essay or leading a panel at a convention. Trade deadline acquisitions that changed the team fundamentally. You know, I've given you those two. I mean, when Scotty Pods came back to the White Sox in 2005, it completely changed. Although he was just on a couch, so it wasn't even a deadline acquisition, but it completely changed the way that team played and felt about itself.
You get Matt. We were 7.5 games out at the All-Star break with the Blue Jays. I want to say 15 or 16. We made 7 trades. We won the division and got to the LCFs. Sutcliffe with the Cubbies in 84. I mean, there are so many examples, but there's also a lot of examples of failures. This is where your staff, your scouts really shine biggest because two things happen. If you've got the players in the minor league system, you can make trades with anybody. Because everybody covets future talent because it's cheap. But the second thing is, if your staff has done a good job lining up the players, doing the background on makeup, figuring out where the puzzle fits, all of a sudden you can take a mediocre team and make it better, Or you can take an elite team like Atlanta a few years ago.
Yes.
And you can turn it into a world champion. To me, it's the most fun part of the baseball season, but most people aren't competent at it. And most fans, I think, have expectations that can't be realized.
Yeah, well, that's why the Cubs are in such a weird place, because they've got some pieces that they probably won't be able to keep, so you're tempted to trade them and get something for them, but you're also in a winnable division, and you're probably a little better than your record. And like, you could argue that they could go either direction to try and buy and take advantage of this moment, or sell and build for next year. Both make sense.
Yeah, great call, Matt. And the bar's lower. I mean, you know, Cincinnati, Milwaukee aren't going to win more than around 84, 85 games, so it's not unattainable to win the division, which probably makes it a more complex decision for Jed and the baseball staff, simply because you wonder how many of those remaining games we're capable of winning with our current club, what the addition of a pitcher position player would do. A lot of people talk about pitching, but I've always been of the opinion that guy only takes the ball once every 5 days. You maybe get 11 or 12 starts out. I mean, he has to pitch out of his mind to make up a lot of games. Position players, you're going to get 200 to 400 plate appearances. You know, as a result, those guys tend to change your club, but they also change your persona in the clubhouse, which sometimes is as important for a trade, just because guys see somebody come in who's won before, and they kind of strap onto his back and say, can you help us get there?
Great, great stuff with Dan Evans. Could talk to you all day. Enjoyed all of it. Dan, congratulations on picking up Vlad Guerrero in baseball card form, if not human form. It feels just as important.
Four for one deal, Matt. Bad deal, but good on my side. You know?
Who did you deal?
Again, Matt, for the Sabre group. Sabre would be a lot of fun. If you're a baseball fan listening to this wonderful show, really consider a membership and you'll have a great time with us.
SABR.org. Recommended highly. Dan, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. That's Dan Evans, former assistant GM with the White Sox, GM of the Dodgers, chief operating officer of the Field of Dreams site. You know what? That night sounds awesome. Just opening baseball cards. Talk about let's remember some guys. Oh, my God. And Danny, the passionate GM making terrible trades. What fun that was. It's 670 The Score. Cubs pregame at top of the hour. Did you see what Jameson Taillon did the other night? We'll play you some highlights of it and discuss. And we'll also go around the league because it looks like same as it ever was out there in L.A. That's coming up next on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
There's a long fly ball right center field. Altman goes back near the wall. That ball is gone. Shohei Ohtani delivers one more strike before the All-Star break. It is his 32nd home run. He extends his Major League lead, and the Dodger lead is now 9-4.
Going 433 feet, Shohei Ohtani.
Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. Because Ohtani.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for... for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Ani did something amazing, and the Angels lost because that's how it works. It's just, it's what happens constantly, all the time, for the Angels. And we had a fun couple of months there where it seemed like maybe the Angels would make the playoffs. It seemed like, oh boy, this is gonna be the year in which Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout get to play playoff games. That would be so cool. Yeah. But that's not what happened.
Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was.
Yeah. No, it's just, you know, the Dodgers are rolling. They beat the Angels 10-5. Shohei hits that absolutely ridiculous home run, his 32nd of the year. The other day, Friday, Shohei got his 100th hit of the season. The last three seasons, he has had at least 100 hits and 100 pitching strikeouts. The last 3 years. That is the most of any player in the history of the game, unsurprisingly. There's another one. Every day, a brand new Shohei Ohtani stat, which says he is the greatest thing of all time. And it's the first time since anybody did this, since, as the tweeter said, Tungsten Arm O'Doyle. In this case, he passed somebody named Adonis Terry of the 1887 and 1890 Major League Baseball League. That's who he passed, Adonis Terry. Didn't he play for Kansas? Was he a guard for Kansas? No, that was Adonis Jordan. Maybe he was a guard for Arizona. No, that was Jason Terry. Adonis Terry. Never heard of him.
Not the bad guy from Creed, no?
No.
Rocky, what? No.
And now I've heard of you because Shohei Ohtani has obliterated you from the record books. Just freaking outrageous. And as you look at the MLB standings right now, the Angels out there in the American League West are 7.5 back with three teams in front of them. In terms of the American League wild card, they trail Toronto, then Boston, then Minnesota, then Seattle for the third and final wild card spot. And they're not going to deal Ohtani. And I understand why, but boy, it's going to be another empty year of having the greatest player in the history of the freaking game. Yeah, I said it. You can say it. You can say it, and it's just not wrong. I mean, you could argue about whether you want it to be right or not. The only argument you have is that he hasn't done it long enough. I get that, but I mean, what we're seeing is just absolutely uncharted territory.
Right. It's like you say that about player, and it's usually hyperbole. It's literally not.
It's not. It's not this time. In the National League West, the Dodgers are charging 7-3 in their last 10, the run differential up to plus 76, 13 games over 500. They still trail the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are 52-38, in part because of the incredible season of Corbin Carroll, which continued last night.
Corbin Carroll's already in the batter's box. He's ready to go.
A chance to win it here today.
Down the line and fair. It's in the corner and the Diamondbacks walk it off. Corbin Carroll wins it. 1-8 to tie and 2-10 to win it. It's a 3-2 Diamondbacks win. Or they were shut down all afternoon by an all-star starting pitcher. The game on the line against an all-star closer, and the rookie all-star comes through with a walk-off win.
That's pretty cool. So Corbin Carroll with the walk-off win for the Diamondbacks. And that guy is sixth in all of baseball in on-base plus slugging. He has 26 stolen bases and 18 home runs. Batting average of .292, a terrific base runner, a terrific defensive outfielder, signed to an extension, and you understand why. The runaway rookie of the year candidate in the National League, and will be vying for National League Most Valuable Player if this continues. He was injured this week. Looked like the shoulder was going to be a problem, but apparently he is okay. We'll step away here for on Hit and Run for a moment, but two things to bring you when we come back. One is a bit of my podcast, The PBP, with the great Dan Shulman that I want you to hear. And another is an incredibly hilarious and adorable moment with our guys, Pat and Ron and Zach, on the radio broadcast as we lead into them doing pregame at the top of the hour here on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Dial 2 years in a Yankee uniform, did good work, 22-11 with a 4.08 for 61 starts.
And a foul tip held on to by Amaya, struck him out. No runs, a hit, and a man left. End of one. There's no score here in New York.
Big ballpark in the Bronx. See ya.
Outside corner, got him. And Bader retired. Second strikeout for Tyone.
Sure do. Big slugger.
Yeah, he went to Horace Mann. Bader went too far, struck him out. And Tyone's gotten him twice. And Jameson Tyone has set down a dozen in a row. And a swing and a miss. Another strikeout. Tyone on a roll. And Donaldson, here are the Boobirds.
So that's Jameson Tyone from Friday night, when he pitched 8 shutout innings, allowed 1 hit at Yankee Stadium as a pitcher on the road. 4 people have done that since 1990. Daniel Cabrera of the Orioles in 2006, Jameson Tyone, Bartolo Colon in the year 2000, and Pedro Martinez in 1999. Pedro in 99 was about as good as any pitcher has ever been, any season, all time. And that's who Jameson Tyone joined the other night. You'll hear from Pat and Ron and Zach in a moment with something from yesterday's game at Yankee Stadium in advance of Cubs pregame, which comes your way at the top of the hour. But I've been doing this podcast, the Play-By-Play. It is the PBP, Voices of Baseball, and I absolutely love it. Next week, Joe Davis, who's doing the All-Star game, will be the guest on the PBP, an incredible conversation with him that I'm looking forward to. And make sure you check that out wherever you get your podcasts. This is the great Dan Shulman, who rose through the ranks to become the voice of Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN and then quit National Baseball a couple years ago to go back to Toronto, his hometown, and do the Blue Jays games, which he's doing now for like 130 games a year. I loved talking to Dan, who has evolved as the game has evolved. He has evolved as a broadcaster, and we talked a bit about his process of doing play-by-play.
I do have a number of windows open on my laptop at the time. One of them is an outstanding tab called MLB Research that is for in-game broadcasters, basically. Mm. And it's usually maybe a pitch behind, but it's very easy for me to track. You know, if it says the sixth pitch of the bat was a slider, and now I just saw another one that was a curveball or a changeup, whatever, it's pretty easy for me to, you know, figure out how many have been thrown in that at bat. Like you said, the scoreboard at every ballpark keeps track of the total number of pitches that a pitcher has thrown, not that at bat, but the total number that he's thrown during a game. And if I'm on my game, the first thing I do when the game starts is remind myself, where is that? Like in Toronto, I know where everything is, obviously, because that's my home ballpark. But if we go to play, you know, the White Sox or the Mariners or the Twins, everything is different. And sometimes I forget and I'm like in the third inning going, where are the pitches? And I'm looking around because it'll always have ball strikes pitches somewhere. But, you know, when I started, I didn't have a computer. There were no laptops. There was no internet. The internet was not a thing when I started. So, you know, now anything you can find in a ballpark, you can probably find on your computer just as quickly.
What other tabs do you have open?
MLB Research, Baseball Reference, Baseball Savant, FanGraphs, Baseball Press, which is a really useful one. Baseball Press has two uses for me. One is it's a good place to see when the lineups are announced. You can get the lineup there. But then when the game starts, there's another tab called bullpen usage. And for example, for the Blue Jays, so you and I are talking on Monday, it would go Sunday, Saturday, Friday, Thursday, like back 5 days or something like that. And it would show the pitches each reliever has thrown over the last 5 days. So for Jordan Romano, I could easily see 13-0-0, 12-0 or something, and have a very good sense of how much he's worked recently. So those five, and then I'll just have like a sixth generic tab open. If I want to Google anything or Wikipedia anything, or go to MILB if I want to check something on the minor leagues or something like that. And then I try to close everything else. But I just sit here on my MacBook. Like if you stood behind me during a game, I think you'd be amazed, and I probably can't even imagine it because it's become second nature, like how much switching around and clicking and I'm doing on my computer to get from one place to the other. Like Nate Pearson comes in yesterday, throwing 100, 101, and I'll go to Baseball Savant, click on the game, because there's an excellent way to see how his velocity today compares to his season-long velocity. You know, and information is so important now, but I always said, you know, I'm trying to do it now. My dad passed away a couple of years ago, but I always said I'm trying to do a game, a broadcast that appeals to my dad and appeals to my son. And those are two very different broadcasts sometimes. So you always have to try to strike that balance, but it's a challenging thing to do. Yeah. So I'll give you a typical home game. Blue Jay home game starts at 7. I leave my house at 2:30. And depending on traffic, I'm there 3-ish if things go well. I like to be in the ballpark about 3:15. And Toronto's also one of those cities, I'm sure Chicago's the same. If you wait an extra 5 minutes to leave your house, it might cost you a half an hour on the highway. So 2:30 is when I try to be out the door, get there just after 3. The Blue Jay Clubhouse opens to the media at 3:30. It's open 3:30 to 4:30. So if I get there 3:05, 3:10, whatever, by that time, the lineup has usually been emailed to us, and it's not for publication, but they send it to kind of the game announcers a little bit early just to give us some help with our scorecard, because it takes us some time, or at least I can see the lineup. Go down to the clubhouse shortly after it opens at 3:30, and I use notes on my computer a lot, and I've got one that's just called Stories to Get. And I just keep a running file. If Kevin Kiermaier did something unusual or interesting in the game before, I'll just say, ask Kiermaier about the fifth inning play. And I'll remind myself of it as I get to the ballpark, go down to the clubhouse and just try to find the guys I'm trying to find. I might have a big list or a little list. The Blue Jay manager, John Schneider, does his media availability for a home game at 4 o'clock. So I do 20, 30 minutes trying to find players or coaches, whatever I need. Go into the manager's office at 4. That usually takes 15 minutes, 4:15. And then I might go out on the field and get more around the cage. I might go over to the visiting side if there's something I'm looking for. But usually by 4:30, 4:45, I'm back up in the booth. And that's when I do my scorecard, which probably front to back takes me 45 minutes to an hour to put together. And about 6 o'clock, getting back to the game notes, I might not have done the game notes yet, so I do the game notes around 6 o'clock. We have a graphics meeting, if you want to call it that. So Buck and I are in the booth and looking at our monitors, and our producer, Doug Walton, is down in the truck, and he'll show us all the video elements, all the graphics that we're thinking of, go over the storylines for the day. And then at about 6:15, we tape our open. We normally tape our open. And then, you know, it's 6:20-ish, whatever. And so for the last half an hour, finish the game notes, maybe grab a, you know, grab a Diet Coke or a coffee if one is handy. Might visit with the opposing announcers a little bit, trade some stories, that kind of thing. Just kind of tie up loose ends in the last half an hour before a game starts.
That's Dan Shulman on the podcast, The PBP. So play by play, and you can find it by searching The PBP and Voices of Baseball is the subheading. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or on the Odyssey app, where you might be listening to this show right now, or anywhere you get your podcasts. And I just thought that was really useful stuff for anybody who has ever dreamed of doing that job, and hopefully interesting stuff for anybody who enjoys listening to play-by-play broadcasters, as we all do. I love those moments when I get a chance to be part of the booth, and the Cubs booth has been incredibly warm and welcoming. That is Ron Coomer and Pat Hughes and Zach Zaidman. And that is a great booth that will be coming your way again in a matter of moments. This is yesterday. I didn't hear this, but Tyler Buterbaugh heard it. told Sean Sears about it. He told me about it, and I want you to hear it. This is them discovering something on the scoreboard there at Yankee Stadium that has the acronym MVR, and I have no idea what that is.
Now, Ron, I've been around the game a long time. On the scoreboard, they have runs, hits, and errors.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have MVR, and there's a total, and both teams have been guilty of MVR four times in the game. And you know where I'm going. I'm not really sure what MVR stands for.
Mound visits remaining.
Zach Zaidman, mound visits remaining. It's a new one for me.
Thanks, Ron.
Zach was... He was chomping at the bit, he chomped.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Appreciate it. I had no idea.
Now, is that... Now, here's another question. I'll let you answer this one.
Hold on. Yeah, wait. First ask, and then let me decide. Because I'm not a clue about the last one.
So you were...
I was right with
good.
You.
Good.
Yeah,
I feel
right
better.
With you. Yeah, I'll be honest.
I feel better now. MVR.
I was kind of quiet because I was like trying to make a joke out of it because I had no dang idea.
I've been looking at it and just coming up with, huh? Bellinger gets the walk. A man at first, one away.
We don't have that on our scoreboard at home, and I have not seen that before in other ballparks.
And we don't need it either.
Bingo.
MVR. How did you know that, Zach?
Do, 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 do.
You asked the same question last year when we visited Yankee
Stadium.
Did
I really?
Yeah, you did.
Well, that's been about 400 days. Here's a pitch inside to Miguel Amaya. And in that all-important MVR, each team with four. Well, you know that professional guys on the bench, they know how many mound visits they've made and how many they have remaining. So as long as the guys in each dugout are aware of it, but for the fans in the stands, who cares?
Yeah, it's not affecting their hot dog purchase at all. I promise you that.
Okay, well, I feel better that you were also clueless about it. So that's why you're a great partner, Ron.
We're both clueless. Boy, if that's not a compliment.
It was meant to be. It was kind of a backhanded compliment.
I got that part.
Now it's 0-2. The pitch to Wisdom, and that's strike three call. The inning comes to an end.
Thank God.
Thank God. MVR, baby. Now we know. Until next time, when Pat asks Zach again. They're coming up now. Cubs pregame coming your way on the score. Cubs and Yankees to finish off the first half. Tomorrow and all week, it's Parkins and Spiegel from 2 to 6. Thank you so much to my guests on the show today. Jim Deshays from the Marquee Sports Network and Dan Evans from Sabre and Field of Dreams. Enjoyed that very much. Great job, Sean Sears, as always. Have a great Sunday, everyone. Get out, enjoy this beautiful Chicago Sunday. And thanks for listening to Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.